may be seated. I want to just praise God this morning. Just all the great things that He's doing in our lives, our midst. I hope you're not missing God this week. I hope you're not missing the marvelous, wonderful grace that He's afforded every one of us in Christ. And then the common grace that He gives to all mankind. The special grace that He gives to His children, you and me. To know that He's at work and that He's doing a mighty work for us, in us, for His glory and for His honor. Not for your comfort, not for just your peace, but for His glory and His honor forever. Amen and amen. The last couple of weeks, we've been talking about who we are in Christ. We've been talking about being redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And because we're redeemed, we have forgiveness of sins. And because we have forgiveness of sins, we're a people who forgive. And then we talked about last week that we're a people who become unoffendable in this life. Let me ask the question. How many of you had the opportunity to be unoffendable this week, right? All of us. Where things happen, where things take place, and we take offense. And we looked at Joseph last week and we saw the horrible things that he went through by the hands of his brother and by a false accusation. Yet we find in Scripture that never once did he walk in anger or walk in unforgiveness or bitterness. Matter of fact, when his brothers finally came, he forgave them and said, "Hey, don't beat yourself up about it. You didn't send me here. God sent me here and He sent me here to save your life." If we have that kind of foresight, if we have that kind of understanding of who we are in Christ Jesus and where we're heading, and that is to the kingdom of God, we're heading to Christ's likeness, we're heading to rule and to reign with Him in the heavenlies. If we understand that, if we know that, then we can live a life by the power of the Spirit where nothing gets under our skin. Would you like that? Is this just a wishing? Is this just some kind of false hope that this preacher's giving us? No. Because He promises to make you like Jesus. In this life and in the life to come. It's the promise of salvation. It's the promise of His blood. It's the promise of forgiveness, for goodness sake. That He forgave you so that you would be a picture, so to speak. You would be a reflection of the great God who forgave you. And to reflect the great God who forgave you, you are forgiving others. Matter of fact, we took that one step further to say, hey, instead of having to get to that place, why don't you just be unoffendable and then you just won't know the difference. Amen. Can we live that kind of life? You bet we can. We can because of who you are, but also who Jesus is in you and what the Holy Spirit of God comes to do. You have the Holy Spirit of the living God living in you. You have the seed of Jesus living in you. When you look at Jesus' life and you see the same thing, you see a man, the God-man, Jesus, who walks through life, walking in forgiveness, but also just being unoffendable. And one of the greatest stories in my mind and in my heart is at the Lord's Supper in chapter 13 of John. So if you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 13. We're going to be looking through verses 20 today. Okay, we're going to march kind of through this passage of Scripture and to see how Jesus was an unoffendable servant. An unoffendable servant, and that's who you are, and that's what God's calling us to, that we are servants of the living God, and we're to walk not in offense, but we're to walk unoffendable. Okay, so that's where we're heading, but we're going to head this way by looking at Jesus do one of the greatest things that he's done besides the cross, and that was to wash His disciples' feet. To be a servant and wash His disciples' feet. Now let's look at the story. We'll read it all the way through. It's in chapter 13, verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that His hour had come, that He would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. And during supper, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray Him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, that He had come forth from God and was going back to God, He got up from the supper, He laid aside His garments, and He took a towel and He girded Himself. And then He poured water into the basin and He began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which He was girded. And so he came to Simon Peter and he said to him, Lord, Peter said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Are you crazy? Are you kidding me? You're going to wash my feet? You're gonna put your hands on these dirty feet of mine? You, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, is going to do what the lowest of lowest servants does in our culture. The job left for the lowest of lowest is to clean the night pot and wash feet. Do you understand what the night pot is? Yeah, the night potty, right? That's what the lowest of the servants does in the household. It's reserved for the lowest of low. And God, Jesus, you're going to go to the lowest of low and wash these stinky feet of mine. You're not going to do it. You're not going to do it. I'm just telling you, you're not going to do it. You ever said that before? And God did it, didn't he? Yeah. You wash my feet? Certainly not. And Jesus answered and said to him, what I do to you, don't realize now, but you will understand hereafter. And Peter said, never shall you wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. And Simon says, oh, you're going to say it that way? So he says to him, Lord, then not only my feet, but my hands and my head. Wash me all over. Just don't touch my feet. Touch me all over, God. Wash me all over. If really, God, if really, Lord, there's no way of being a part of you by only by you serving me, then God, not only my feet, everything else. I love that. I love that about Peter. And, I mean, just this guy that just kind of is always talking what's on his mind, you know? And he's always putting his foot in his mouth. Okay. And occasionally he says some right things, amen. Yeah, he does. And he says a right thing here that we're going to see in just a moment. My whole life, Lord, wash me. And Jesus said to him, he who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you're clean, but not all of you. For he knew the one, watch this, who was betraying him. For this reason, he said, not all of you are clean. So when he washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table again, he said to them, do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right. I am. I'm teacher and Lord. I am. Matter of fact, I am. I am that I am. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, wash your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you should do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is the one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. And if you know these things, you're blessed if you do them. Folks, you're not blessed if you just know these things. You're blessed if you do them. I don't speak to all of you. I know the ones I've chosen, but it is that scripture may be fulfilled, he who eats my bread has lifted up his heel against me. From now on, I'm telling you before it comes to pass, so that when it does occur, you may believe that I am. And truly, truly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. Did you notice something about the servanthood of Jesus? First of all, in the very first opening verses of this, that Jesus, it's Jesus, the great servant. He loves you to the uttermost. Notice what he says. He says, knowing that his hour had come, verse 1, that he would depart out of this world to the Father. Watch, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. He loved you to the end, to the uttermost. It's not just some little start, this little spurt of love. No, it is a hydrant. It is a river of living love that he has loved you with, that is to the very, very end. He loves you to the very end. He doesn't just love you at the beginning and then let you go do something else. No, he loves you at the beginning. He loves you in the middle of your life. He'll love you at the very end of your life. Do you know that? Do you believe that today? He loves you to the very, very end. When Jesus died, when he had you in mind and heart, he did so while you were helpless, ungodly sinners and enemies of the kingdom of God. That's what Paul said in Romans chapter 5. And in Romans chapter 5, verse 8 on the screen, that God demonstrates his own love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What was he that he said on the cross? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Let me ask you a question. If Jesus said, Father, forgive them, is God going to take a nickel, quarter, and flip it and say, nah. Not going to do it this time. If you think the great intercessor Jesus is interceding before the Father today, and he's saying, Father, forgive them, I want to tell you, I can guarantee you, God's forgiven these folks. And he is offering forgiveness to the very ones that are nailing him to the cross, the very ones that are denying him, the very ones that are going their own way. And it's you and me, it's you and me that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were ungodly, while we were enemies of the cross, while you were in your sin, he died for you. He did not wait for you to become a friend of God. He didn't wait for you to become a saint of God. He didn't wait for you to be godly. Is that right? Did Jesus save you while you were godly? Everybody shake their head. No. Sin, a saint? No, you weren't a saint. You're a sinner. He did that while you were in your sin. He loved us with this great love. And then the Bible says, listen, he chose these 12 disciples. They walked with him for 3 years. They said dumb things. They said hard things. They said stupid things. Some people said, please don't use the word stupid. I love the word stupid sometimes. But they did stupid things. And yet he still loved them. They said foolish things. They sinned. And yet he still loved them. Jesus loves you to the uttermost. That's what perseverance of the saints is all about. It's not you just trying really hard to keep it. It's God working through you, speaking to your heart, and you listening and believing. And as a result of listening and believing, you're obeying him and you're following him. And you realize that, hey, now in Christ, these things that God's asked me to do, they're not a burden. They just seem to be happening in my life. That's what the Holy Spirit does. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Jesus loved them to the end, and he loves you to the end. Let me say a second thing about this passage right up front is that Jesus serves you. He serves you. This is what he does when he gets up from supper and he takes the towel and he girds himself in verse 4 and he pours the water into the basin and he begins to wash the disciples' feet. And I want to tell you, this is unheard of for a rabbi, for a leader, a spiritual leader to get on his knees and do a filthy job. It's unheard of. It's shocking. But here is the King of Kings. Here is the Lord of Lords. Here is God in the flesh, who this eternal God, this great I Am, who comes in the form of a man. It's his only begotten Son. And God in the flesh kneels down and washes stinky, dirty feet. That's service. That's unoffendable. It's unoffendable to him. Listen, Jesus said this, I have the reason why I have come is to do the will of God. Look a couple of verses on the screen, if you would. And I hope you're getting the notes every Sunday. I know Miss Ruby, thank you so much for handing out those notes every Sunday, just so you could keep along. But Hebrews 10:7 says, then I said, behold, I've come in the scroll of the book that is written of me to do your will, O God. I've come to do your will. What if you saw this scripture so applicable to your life today that this King of Kings and Lord of Lords would step down from glory and say one thing, I've come to do your will, O God. And you imitate that in the morning, or actually, when you get in the car to go home, or go to eat, or whatever you're going to do, to say, Lord, I'm coming, I'm going to this next place to do your will, O God, and not mine. What if you got up in the morning and imitated the Lord and got ready for work and you got in your car and said, God, I'm coming to work to do your will, oh God. What if you got in the car to go eat lunch and you got to eat lunch with somebody, maybe your coworkers, and you said, I'm going to lunch to do your will, oh God. What if at 5 o'clock or whenever you get off from work and you get in your car or you get in your truck and you go to your house and you say, when you're walking to the door, God, I've come to do your will today. What if you were to do that? What if you were to say, God, I want my life to be totally wrapped up in your will, not mine. Because I know when I am totally wrapped up in my will, things go awfully wrong, awfully fast. And it just doesn't work. But God, I want to come do your will. I want to do what you want me to do. And this is what Jesus says. I want to do what you do. And you know, when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, a couple of pages back, he's in the garden and he's saying, oh God, I don't know if I can handle this. If there's any way, let this cup pass from me. Let this cup of crucifixion and death, let this separation from you in this moment, let it be passed from me. Nevertheless, not your will, not my will, but your will, because I have come to do your will, oh God. When Jesus came, he said to the disciples, amongst a lot of other things, in Mark 10:45, he said, even the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. He says, you know why I came? I came to serve. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the leader of it all, the leader of the universe, came to serve you. And even if that meant washing your feet, he would serve you because he loves you to the end. And of course, this loving to the end, this ultimate sacrifice of his life that we'll talk about next week when we celebrate the Lord's Supper together, and we'll move from the Lord's Supper to the death to the crowning resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and what it means for us. Oh, invite a friend next week. Invite somebody that's not in church. Invite somebody looking for a church. Invite an unchurched person. We're going to talk about the gospel on Easter Sunday. But when I look at this passage and he is washing his feet and he's coming to the cross in Hebrews 10:10, and read the passage sometime today or tomorrow, by this will, he says, I've come to do your will, O Lord, and by this will, Paul says, by the will that he came to do, we've all been sanctified through the offering and the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Jesus loves you to the end and he serves you to the end. He serves you to the end. Now, let's talk about a third thing. Jesus loves and serves you whoever you are, wherever you've come from, and whatever you've done and however you've lived. He comes to serve you. He comes to serve everybody. I'm just going to tell you that he comes to serve everybody. Listen, he served you and me when we were lost. So you can say, God serves lost people. God serves the unchurched. God serves the unruly. God serves the worst of us. And there's a picture of this in this story right here. How Jesus loves and serves whoever you are. I want you to notice something about this passage. He steps down, he girds the towel, he pours the water in, and he washes every one of those disciples' feet. Jesus loves and serves his denier, Peter. Peter's going to get up and go from this place and deny him that he even knows him 3 times. He's going to do it 3 times. The first time he's going to deny him and say, I don't know him. The second time he's going to say, I don't know him with an oath. The third time he's going to say, I don't know him, and he's going to curse about it. He's going to curse that he doesn't know Jesus. And you don't think Jesus knows that while he's washing and serving his feet? He's touching the denier's feet. Has anybody ever denied you? Done something wrong to you? Spoken evil of you? Let me ask you, could you do the lowest of low and wash their feet? Serve them? Jesus did. Peter, up and down Peter. I'm just telling you, he's always up and down. Simon, you know, Simon says one thing good and the next thing he says bad. One time he said, when Jesus said, hey, who do you say that I am? He said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon, son of John, because flesh and blood didn't reveal that who I am to you, but God did. And Peter goes, yeah, yay me. And in the next breath, Jesus says, I'm going to the cross. And Peter says, never. And you know what Jesus says to him then? Get behind me, Satan. You're putting your mind on man's interest, not God. Yeah, this is the Simon Peter. This is the rock, who he calls the rock. This is the one who'll say this great thing. And yet, turn around and say something dumb. That's why it's better just to keep your mouth shut. Slow to speak. Quick to listen. And yet there he is, knowing what Peter's going to do, already telling Peter what he's going to do. He washes his feet. He washes the denier's feet. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever denied Jesus? Have you ever denied him with your lips? Have you ever denied him with your heart? Have you ever denied him by your lifestyle? Jesus serves you. He serves you. He loves you while you were denying him. He loves you to the end. And I say, praise God for that. But the question is, will I serve the denier? Will I bless the denier? Will I endure with the denier? Will I love the denier even until the end? I believe that's where we're headed if you're headed for Jesus. You may not be there right now. You may be struggling with some things. And I just want to tell you, it's okay. But just make sure you've got your face pointed in the right direction. You've heard me say, we're not talking about perfection. We're talking about direction. We're talking about a lifestyle toward Jesus where we become increasingly more like him. Jesus loves and serves you, whoever you are, wherever you've been, whatever you've done. Jesus loves and serves his denier. Peter has this resistance to it. He doesn't want him to do it. He knows that he should be washing Jesus' feet. And then yet Jesus would say, listen, if I don't do this to you, you have no part in me. Can I tell you this? This is really important. This is really important in church life. If you don't let the church serve you in your time of need or whenever, you can't have a part. You can't have a part of it. You've got to allow people to serve you. You've got to allow people to pray for you, to encourage you. I mean, that's why we have home fellowship. It's meeting tonight. So you can get together and get to know each other so that you can love one another, serve one another, bear one another's burdens, pray for one another. But if all you do in church is come and listen and go your way, you're not a part. Unless you allow one another to serve you, unless you allow Jesus to serve you, Jesus says you can't be a part. And so desperate is Peter for this, he said, well, I'll tell you what, I'm just not going to get my feet wet. I'm going to dive in to you and let you do in my life whatever. Now listen, folks, I'm not saying that if you don't come to home fellowship or Sunday school, that you're not connecting. Listen, we connect one-on-one. We connect with the church in different ways. But I just want to say, if you're not connecting, if you're not letting people serve you and you're not serving folks so they can let you serve, then how can you have a part of people's lives? Peter says, God, I want that so desperately that I'll dive in and I'll do whatever you ask me to do. You can wash my head, you can wash my hands, you can wash my whole body, you can wash everything about me because I am desperate for community with you. And Jesus washes his feet. You know, he says something else that's pretty interesting. He says, not all of you are clean. He knows the one who's betraying him. But I want you to know something. Judas is in this. Judas is in this conversation. And so Jesus not only loves and serves his denier, Peter, he loves and serves his betrayer, Judas. Let me tell you a little bit about Judas. In John chapter 12, verses 1 through 6, they are in a house together, and this woman comes up, and she takes this very, very expensive perfume and breaks it over his feet, Jesus' feet, and washes his feet with this costly perfume. And Judas is upset about it. And Judas says, I can't believe you're letting her do that. You could have taken that perfume and you could have sold it and given it to the poor. Yay me. But the Bible says in John that he didn't say that because he cared for the poor, but that he was a thief. And he was the one who handled the money. And he's the one who used to dip into that money for the whole group and take it and pocket it himself. And what he was thinking, the scripture says, in a roundabout way, is that he wanted a piece of that perfume. He wanted to sell it so he know that he can get a little bit out of that. Why? Because he's a thief. And Jesus is washing the thief's feet. He's serving the thief. He's serving the betrayer. He's serving the unclean. He is serving the one who the Bible calls the son of perdition. He's the guy with the devil thoughts. The betrayer, the backstabber. The one who betrayed Jesus with a kiss for 30 pieces of silver. For nothing. And Jesus washes his feet. God, I want to say this. Judas has a horrible end. The Bible says in Matthew that when he betrays him and then they seize him, all of a sudden he's got remorse. And so he goes back to him and says, God, I need to give this money back. And we're not going to give this money back. It's blood money, don't you understand? It's blood money, and we're not going to take blood money back. Isn't that interesting? We're not going to take blood money, but we're going to go shed the blood. Doesn't make sense to me. But that's how what evil people do. You know, we're not going to take that money. It's blood money. Well, you're the one about to shed the blood. And so the Bible says he throws the money down, and they gather it up, and they go buy Potter's Field with it. And Judas goes out and hangs himself. Another account says that as he's hanging himself, he finally, the rope breaks and the bowels burst out when he hits the ground. And his end is horrible. It's horrible. You know, I would like to think that when Jesus is washing his feet, that he's forgiving him, releasing him. I'd like to think that. I'm not sure where he went. I'm not that judge, and neither are you. But I want to tell you, he had an opportunity because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was touching his feet. Jesus washed his betrayer's feet. Can I ask you a question? Have you ever been betrayed? Hurt? And that hurt went to anger, and that hurt went to bitterness, and that hurt went to offense, and you're offended by it, and you've never forgiven your betrayer, much less going to wash his feet or serve him or her. And I want to just tell you what I believe about, you know, you hear the word radical a lot, radical believer. Let me tell you what. I just believe you can't. There's no such thing as a radical believer. A believer is a believer is a believer is a believer. A believer does what Christ says, and that might be radical, but it's supposed to be the normal Christian life. And that's why we forgive those who offend us and those who betray us. That's why we serve one another. Now, I know that there's some things in the Gospels and the writings of Paul that when we fellowship together, that there's things that we are to practice church discipline about. And we've practiced church discipline here for the years. But it's always about loving that person to see them restored. We've had to do that. He's not talking about putting your head on the rug when you see sin. He's not talking about ignoring it. He's not talking about that. No, there's a way to confront. And the Bible says if you see your brother sinning, you go and you confront him. You tell him. You do it in love. And if he doesn't repent, he doesn't turn, you bring somebody with them. And if they still don't, you bring it before the church and you pray that they will repent. We're not talking about everything goes here. We're talking about a people of holiness who want to be like Jesus. So hear what I'm saying in this. But I want to say this. How many of you have been betrayed? And then you wrote them off. Because they denied or they betrayed. And you were done. And have you ever said that? I'm done with them. I'm done with that church. I'm done with that man. I'm done with this marriage. I'm done. I'm done with them betraying. I'm done because of what they've done. When we ought to be praying for them and asking God, God, would you give me an opportunity to serve them? What? Serve the offender? Okay. How many of you have ever betrayed somebody? Would you want the church, would you want those in your life to come but alongside you and to love you through it? Would you want them to forgive you? If you've betrayed those closest to you and you've got this remorse and you've got this sorrow over your life, wouldn't you want to be forgiven? Yes! Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Jesus is washing the feet of the betrayer. I call that unoffendable. I call that unoffendable. Are you unoffendable today? Do you have this spirit within you that says, God, I just know. It's not that I see the best in you, and it's not that I see the worst in you. It's that I see the best in God. I see the best in Christ. And that's what I want to walk after. That's what I want to follow. That's why, folks, you got to read your Bible. You got to understand what God says. You got to be in the Word to say these are the things that God says. And you need to be in the Bible every day. You get to read stories like this. You get to read Scripture, the Word of God like this, to apply it, that Jesus washed his betrayer's feet. And if you can do anything today, anything is in response to this message that God, you'd say, oh God, show me how to just serve. If that just means praying for this person, that's what I'll do. I will pray for this person. I will pray for my son. I will seek ways to invest in my daughter. I will seek ways to invest in my friend. Jesus in loves and serves the denier and the betrayer. But I say a couple of other things. Jesus loves and serves the doubter. Thomas. Thomas is a doubter. Thomas is going to doubt. You say, well, that's making it a lot easier now. Thank you. I can forgive a doubter. Yeah, you can. A doubter. Yeah, he doubted. But we'll just be patient with him, and we will, and we'll love him till he's not doubting anymore, and he believes, and we'll be there for him. Jesus loves and serves the fretful, the fearful, the runaways, those who ran away from the cross, who abandoned him. They abandoned him. They denied him. But he still loved and he served them. And can you imagine? He's going from foot to foot, feet to feet, heart to heart, eyeball to eyeball. And he's loving them to the end. That's our great God. That is our great God. That's what he does for you when he serves you. That's what he does when he forgives you, when he loves you. Listen, I can't tell you what you're supposed to do from this message about betrayers and doubters and fretful and all those things that were done hurtfully. I can't tell you the specifics of it, but you've got the Holy Spirit of the living God. That's why he calls you the priesthood of the believers. You are a priest of the living God. You don't need me to tell you what to do. You just ask the Holy Spirit, oh God, Holy Spirit, show me what to do, because I don't want to walk in a way contrary to your ways. If all I can do is pray for the individual, that's what I'll do. That's what I'll do. I mean, Jesus loves and serves even his faithful, John the beloved, John the disciple that Jesus loved. By the way, he's the one who said that about himself. He's the one who remained faithful. He didn't deny. He didn't run. He's found at the cross with the few women that stick with Jesus. Matter of fact, when he's at the cross, he's the only one. And he's hanging on the cross. And John is standing next to his mother, Mary. And he says, "Hey, John, behold your mother. Mother, behold your son." Jesus didn't say that to his other brothers. He had earthly brothers. He said, "John, in your faithfulness, will you take care of my mother? Will you let her be your mother the rest of your life?" That's what everybody missed. They missed blessing. Behold your mom. Behold your son. Jesus trusted this faithful man of God with his mama. And I guarantee you, he took full responsibility. Let me ask you, have you ever been the doubter? Have you ever been the fretful, the fearful, the runaway? I'm going to tell you, Jesus comes to love you to the end. That's his relationship with you today. The question is, how do we do that? I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 4, if you would. We'll close with this in about 4 minutes, if you're lucky. Okay. 1 Peter chapter 1, chapter 4, verse 10. I love this. Verse 7. "The end of all things is near." Wow. Hey, let me ask you a question. When you get to thinking about all the end of all things are near, what do you do? How do you respond? What do you do when you think the end is near? I mean, we talk about that a lot. We see it a lot in our culture about when things are near and we're getting ready for the end. How are you getting ready for the end times? Notice this. He says, first of all, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of what? Prayer. The end is near. So pray. Have sound judgment. 8, above everything, be fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Now watch this. Yet Jesus loved you to the end, and he's saying, listen, to your end, when it's your end, when the things are coming to the end, you keep loving one another to the uttermost, to the end. So he says, I find it really easy to do selfish things and they'd be all about me and all the things that are going on in my life, when he's saying, hey, love one another because love covers a multitude of sins. Verse 9, be hospitable to one another without complaint. Now watch, verse 10, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as a good steward of the manifold grace of God. If you've got a speaking gift, do it as one who is speaking the utterances of God. And whoever has a servant gift, serving gift, serve by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Listen, you want to serve? You want to serve the betrayer? No, I don't want to serve the betrayer. That's our flesh. But the Spirit of God comes and says, yes. Every one of you have been given a special gift from God. It's either a speaking gift or a serving gift. That's what he says here. A speaking gift or a servant gift. And he says you're to employ it by the manifold grace of God. You're supposed to be busy operating out of your giftedness. And I know we don't have a whole lot of time to talk about that, but let me just say, would you, before God today, say, God, I'm going to put my gift on the altar to you, and I want to ask that you show me how to live it and how to walk it out, and I'll serve with this. If you have a gift of teaching, why aren't you teaching in Sunday school? Why aren't you teaching children? If you have a hospitality gift, why aren't you opening up your home for home fellowship? If you have a serving gift where you serve and do things for other people, why aren't you signing up the list to help here, to help people who are in need? I mean, we can go on and on and on. I don't say this to guilt anybody. I'm just saying, listen, this is what Scripture says. That's what it says. Be about your gift. Be about your gift. So that when it comes to the Judas in your life, or the doubter in your life, or the faithful in your life, you're using your gift to serve. Okay. So here's a couple of things. They're going to be right up here, and I'm going to close with this. Always remember your redemption, how you're forgiven. Forgive. Remember we talked, forgive us. Lord, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Are you forgiving your debtors? Second, by God's grace, put on love. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 is a great verse. It says, listen, you've heard it said, love your neighbor, hate your enemies. Actually, they said that. So I'm telling you, love your enemies. Do good to those who persecute you, so that you will be sons of the living God. You'll be sons of the living God. 3, you are the sons and daughters of the living God. Be led by the Spirit. We've been talking about that. We talked about that several weeks ago. You can get on the website and find that, find those sermons. 4, here's what I love. Obey the initial promptings of the Holy Spirit. What is it the Holy Spirit is saying to you? How many of you in here believe that God has spoken to your heart once in your life? Come on, raise your hand. Wow. Do you think he can do it again? Yes. Be available to the Spirit. God, show me. And then when he prompts you, do it. Call that staff person on staff when God says something. Call that person that God's put on your heart. Minister, serve. You know, when you're doing that, one day God will come along and say, hey, I need you to call up the betrayer. Maybe, maybe not. But you know what? You've been practicing. And you've been practicing listening to the Spirit of God. And though it may be a little nervous and though it may be a little stressful, you do it because you know the Spirit of God's asking you to do it. The betrayer who's asked you to forgive him 1,000 times. Pick up the phone and do it. 5, you've heard me say it, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Okay. All right. That's all I got. Okay. That's all I got today. I want to pray for you. Okay. So just stand with me if you would. I'm going to be stepping out here in a minute, and we have an anointing afterwards of a couple of folks who have asked for elders to anoint, and so I can't stay long, but if there is something that you need, find somebody, talk to them. If you need some follow-up this week, give us a call. If you're listening online today, live streaming, or if you're listening to this message in the car on a Sunday morning one day, pick up the phone. We're available. We're available. All right, I want to bless you with this blessing. I pray that Jesus would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, that you'd be strengthened with power through his Spirit. My blessing to you is that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you be rooted up and grounded in love, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints which the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth, that you would know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up with all the fullness of God. Now unto him who is able to do a far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, that's your generation, forever and ever. Amen and amen.